Today I'm talking deposits, payment methods, and horror stories with Chef Matt Collins. Whether you're someone who works in the food business or not, if you take money for your services, stick around because you're going to want to hear this. I'm Chris Spear, and you're listening to Chefs Without Restaurants, the show where I speak with culinary entrepreneurs and people working in the food and beverage industry outside of a traditional restaurant setting. As most of you know, I work as a personal chef. For my business, I currently accept cash, check, Zelle, Venmo, and sometimes PayPal as a payment method. This weekend, I had an issue with a customer payment through Zelle. Matt's already been on this show twice. You might have heard him before. He's someone I talk to frequently, often bouncing ideas and thoughts off of him. When I had this issue, I sent Matt a message joking that we should do a show about it. I know he's had issues with Venmo and checks, so we thought, why not talk about it? When I started this podcast, it was because I wanted to bring real value to those who are new business owners or maybe looking to start one. This is a topic that I see come up a lot in personal chef forums, and people ask me all the time about payment methods. I'll keep the intro short because we're going to really dig into it on the show, but we talk about different options for payment methods. We also talk about deposits, how, when, and how much. We're going to talk about fees, gratuity, and paying by cash. And due to the nature of the conversation, we're going to get into some horror stories, which I think you'll find amusing. Overall, Matt's a mildly funny guy, and we try to keep it light. As always, if you go to chefswithoutrestaurants.org, you can find links to everything, including our private Facebook group, and you'll be able to add yourself to our database so you can hopefully get some gig leads. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback on this episode, I'd love to hear from you. My DMs are always open on Instagram at chefswithoutrestaurants, or you can shoot me an email at chefswithoutrestaurants@gmail.com. This week's episode will be right up after a word from this week's sponsor, the United States Personal Chef Association. Are you a personal chef looking for support and growth opportunities? Look no further than the United States Personal Chef Association. With nearly 1,000 members across the U.S. and Canada, USPCA provides liability insurance, certification, lead generation, and more. Consumers can trust that their meal experience is insured and supported by USPCA. And now, for a limited time, save $75 on new membership and get your premier listing on Hire a Chef by using the code TAXBREAK2023 at USPCA.com. That's capital T, capital B. Plus, if you have products or services to sell chefs and their clients, showcase your business on Hire a Chef and USPCA websites with our great introductory packages. To learn more about membership, advertising, or partnership opportunities, call Angela at 1-800-995-2138, extension 705, or email aprather@uspca.com. Hey, Matt, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming back. I guess this is like your third time, so you're probably my most appearing guest at this point. You did the regular episode. You did a What is the Chef or What is a Chef mini episode, and now we're back to talk about payment methods today, which I guess at its core maybe sounds like a dry topic, but I think we'll keep it fun, right?
Yeah, well, I'm pretty fun. I'm excited for my jacket, kind of like SNL. Going to have the Three Timers Club jacket on Chefs Without Restaurants.
Yes, you're going to be the Steve Martin of the Chefs Without Restaurants podcast.
Alec Baldwin, maybe.
Alec Baldwin. I think those two go back and forth, yeah.
But people like Steve Martin. Not everyone likes Alec Baldwin, so that's why I'm him, because not everyone likes me.
I don't always like you either. It's kind of like the Star Wars, I don't like you either. Anyway, we're already off track here. So for the audience, we wanted to talk about payment methods. You know, Matt's a personal chef. I'm a personal chef. He and I actually talk off camera a lot about, you know, when you should take a deposit, how much, what your payment methods are. But this started because this weekend I had a situation. So I've always said I take cash, check, Zelle, and Venmo. I can do PayPal. I don't mind because it's an easy way to take credit card processing, but they charge a fee, which I don't like. So anyway, I had these guests at a dinner. There was 9 people. Now, shame on me because I let them all pay separately. And we'll get into this. I do feel like one person should be paying you, but it comes time to settle up. And all these guests, you know, they're couples. So like 4 of them want to pay Venmo and, you know, a couple want to pay Zelle or whatever, which is usually fine. So, you know, they send me the money. One woman with the Zelle, it doesn't go through. It's not showing on my phone. But I've had this issue before. And I said, you know, don't worry about it. I'm sure it'll go through. guess what? It didn't. It's 2 days later now. I come home. It's still not in my bank. I don't know where this money is, but here's the problem. I don't know who this woman is. She's not the person who booked the party. She's a guest of the hostess, right? So I call Zelle and here's what they tell me. You don't have a valid account. And I'm like, what do you mean I don't have a valid account? I have an account. So here's how Zelle works. It goes directly into your bank. But what they don't tell you is it doesn't actually go to your bank account number. It's tied to your debit card. So, you know, like credit cards and debit cards do, there's an expiration. So I guess my debit card expired and my bank sent me a new one. No big deal. I didn't update it in the Zelle app. So when this woman went to pay, Zelle does not flag it and say, this is not valid. It can't go through. They accept the process. I think I've got my money. I leave the party. And then I find out later, guess what? I didn't have a valid debit card on file, so they refused the charge. But at the time of service, when I'm at this party, the woman was not told this, so she thinks it goes through. I am not told this, so I think it goes through. And now I have to hope that this is a good person, and she is actually going to send me the money she owes me. But guess what? I also have to figure out how to get a hold of her first. So now I have to email the hostess and say, hey, you know how we said the woman was going to pay Zelle, and I thought it'd be okay? Guess what? It's not. Can you reach out to your friend and tell her she needs to send me $250? Which is just a pain in the ass. So this is a long way of me saying, I think I need to work on some processes here. And I know Matt has had some issues with some of these things as well. So we wanted to talk about this a little bit today because I want to bring value to my listeners. And I thought this would be more interesting than just doing a solo show. So Matt and I are going to hash it out a little bit over payment methods. What do you think, Matt?
I literally had to bite my tongue hearing that you allow multiple people to pay for the same.
And this is not my first time I've done this and had an issue. So yes. So yeah, getting into that, you really need to have one person making payment, right? If you are doing a dinner party with 10 people and it's five couples, how do you handle that?
No, one person. The only time I'll take a second payment, if someone else maybe wants to leave a tip. And then I've had an issue where someone said, hey, I forgot to leave a tip. Can I leave a tip in front of my staff? And then they're like, you know, set it up via Square. And then they just never paid it. So I had to like take screenshots and show my staff. I'm like, yeah, they actually just never paid it. So it's like, because then people think I'm, you know, taking like $100 out of their pocket or something. And so it just put me in this like weird, like Curb Your Enthusiasm situation of like, you know what I mean? Over like, you know, not that it's the end of the world, it's a little bit of money, but you know, it just, you know, I have people who I rely on. And if they think I'm stealing money from them, that's not cool.
Yeah. Matt Collins is canceled because he's stealing tips.
Yeah, I mean, well, in all honesty, how many chefs has that happened to?
Quite a few recently.
Most of them. You know what I mean? I'm almost like, who hasn't? I guess that's how you run a restaurant. So we can't be the chefs without restaurants doing the things the chefs with restaurants are doing.
But I do think this is more common, especially in like younger parties. Like I see, you know, I do a lot of bachelorette parties and it's a dozen single girls and they all want to be like Venmoing you at the table. Sometimes I found that that does work out if you're talking about tips. Because it offsets the chance that if there's one bad tipper, because I've had a party of, let's say, 10, where the host is the one who doesn't want a tip. So you've got a $1,000 dinner and they don't tip. So you don't get, let's say, $200. But at least when you've got 10 people, if you've got one who doesn't tip, but nine others do, you know, I'm playing the odds there. I'm playing the odds. But
yeah, but you lost the tip on this last party because you lost $250. And then there's like sometimes there's individual processing fees for each transaction, too. So you're right. Losing more in fees and just general confusion that at the end of the year doing your taxes. Oh, for this party, it was blah, blah, blah. Then you have to recalculate how much you lost in fees.
I haven't paid any fees. We'll get into the fees things. Most of them are just a transaction percentage. Venmo gives you the option when you pay someone. It says, is this for goods or service? I think in like 3 years of doing business, only two people have flagged it as a service where I did get assessed a fee and everyone else just pays me and I haven't had to pay, which is why I love using Venmo and Zelle because 99% of the time I'm not assessed any kind of fee on that, which is sweet. You know, when people pay via PayPal, I'm getting whacked with this, you know, I'm losing like $30, $40 on a one transaction fee. And yes, there's a cost of doing business. But if I could skate through without paying that, you know, $40, $50. And I do want to be clear, this woman did pay for the party. They all 100% tipped, went above and beyond. I did make my money. I don't know if they're listening. They probably aren't. But it was a great party. We had lots of fun. They did pay me well and everyone tipped and it worked out. But there was the off chance that maybe I wouldn't get tipped or wouldn't get paid for this party, at least for one person.
I totally spaced on what I wanted to say because I changed like four times.
Well, I think one of the big things is like going back to it is if you're doing a party, you need to have one person coordinate. Like if all these people are paying their own way, they need to give the, whoever's the hostess needs to collect that money and then pay you out of their account. So if we're Venmoing or selling,
have a maximum of how many times you can split a check. So I think, you know, I mean, I don't have the verbiage on my website, but maybe I should add it. I haven't had that as many issues as what you're having. But I've had some times where it's, you know, I'm going to pay X percentage and so-and-so is going to pay the balance. Because, you know, I've had people's parents pay for parties, you know, another family member split it with, you know, brother and sister paying for a parent's anniversary. I've had a lot of weird stuff. As long as, you know, people are clear with what's happening, hey, I'm paying the deposit and then, you know, another person next week's going to pay the remainder of the balance before the event. Because that's like a policy I have is that if you're not at the event, the event has to be paid for beforehand. You know, it can be the week of the balance, but you just can't not be there and then me go hunt you down. Like I'm not a debt collector. I'm not the Punisher. I'm not, you know, Boba Fett. No, you're Mr. Star Wars. So that's like a whole crazy thing. When I first started the business, I did a pop-up and then my first private event, I literally got into an email beef while at my first ever private event about someone who didn't like the verbiage of my deposit form and was like, well, do you take Zelle? And I was like, I've never used it. You can try sending it over. And then, you know, that was like the beginning of the meal, like the hors d'oeuvres first course. You know, I had a minute, sent that email. And then later by the entree, I'm like, she's like, you got it. And I'm like, I didn't get it. And then I was literally had to call the person, step outside and was like, yo, you need to call your bank, call Bank of America, call Zelle. I don't have it. I can't send it back. And if I don't have a deposit, then, your dinner in 9-10 days isn't going to happen because I'm not going to buy food. And it was right when I started the business. I had very little money. It wasn't like I was like, oh, I can go buy all this food. I needed that money to buy the food. Like I just bought all my plates, my website and, you know, like whatever, napkins, glassware, silverware. Like I was – the last thing I needed to do was to spend a couple $100 on food and then not ever get paid or go into the Zelle void.
Yeah, I feel like the Zelle void is real. And this makes me think that I did have a customer a couple days ago who said they were going to send a deposit via Zelle. And now that I think about it, I haven't seen that. And I probably need to reach out to her and say, hey, did you actually forget and not send it? Or did you send it and not realize that it was going to the Zelle void and I didn't have a valid account? So that's the kind of stuff that like can easily slip by you, right? And then I could see getting into an argument like at dinner when I present like the check and she says there's a $100 deposit. And now I have to like figure out what happened to that $100 deposit.
Well, not to just like totally dump on Venmo as well, because that's another thing where you were saying you didn't have any fees or base and whatnot. Like right when PayPal took over Venmo for me, they instantly like messaged me because I don't know if your name is your business name. I made a business account separate. You know what I mean? So that way people don't see like my partner paying me rent or friends paying me whatever or whatever I want to send money. I just – because everyone adds you. You know what I mean? So I used my personal for like a year and I was like, well, it's weird because all these people are adding this account. You know, every client would add it and then it's just like they're seeing all my stuff. It's just made me uncomfortable. So I made the business one and then once that switchover came, they were like, we don't care if you're paying your staff. Like, we're going to hit you with a fee. It doesn't matter. So it didn't matter friends or family or anything anymore. And then I was like, okay, whatever. I can work that in. And then I had a cancellation happen and they instantly yoinked the money out of my account. And I was like, my policy isn't you get every single dollar back. They canceled on a holiday weekend in under 48 hours. I had purchases I made. I had to reimburse my staff. And so I had to fight with Venmo and it took about a week to get the money back. And then I just was like, why am I going to pay fees if my money's not protected?
So how did that work? Like the customer reached out to them and said like it wasn't a valid.
Yeah, she said that I essentially was like fraud, but they never followed up with me. So they just didn't say anything. So I noticed, like, I don't know, a couple days after the event was supposed to happen, that the money was taken out of my bank account. And it was a good chunk of change. You know what I mean? It was maybe like $1,800 or whatever it was, $1,500. So you kind of notice. I'm not Daddy Warbucks. So you kind of notice when like $2,000 comes out of your checking. And so I reached out and, the dispute, I had to screenshot emails, explaining how much money I was going to give her back, et cetera, showing all that. And then they took care of it. But it was quite nerve wracking. And that was like a hard decision because I still get people who want to pay Venmo. And if they're in a hard spot, they're in their own home. You know, I'm not going to tell them, fuck off. You know, I'll take it. I just have them send it to my personal and hope that it doesn't get flagged. And I'd much rather lose, 4% on fees if Venmo decides to take the fees than, not get paid the balance or upset a customer doesn't listen, which is it is what it is,
Yeah. And one of the things I've, most of the time or much of the time people are drinking at these parties. So when you get into these multiple people hands in the pot, I've had a number of scenarios where you've got, five couples and the wife says to the husband, okay, send him $200 or whatever. And he's like half drunk and whatever. And he doesn't put in the right name. Thank God now there's like a scan, a QR code. And they sometimes need your phone number to validate. Because one time I was at a party and the people had like no Wi-Fi, no reception in their house. And I gave them my name and they said they sent me the money. And I kept saying it wasn't there. And they're like, no, like we just, there's no Wi-Fi. Like I'm sure when you get home, it'll be fine. And like 2 days go by and I still didn't have the money. It turns out they sent it to the wrong person, even though in all my emails, I'm saying like, here's my Venmo. They said, if you looked at the avatar, the guy looked like an 18-year-old Filipino guy in his profile picture, like at the gym.
No one knows. They think that that's what you look like.
I am an 18-year-old Filipino guy. But everyone was there having drinks. And they're like, oh, Chris Spear, send him Venmo. I'm like, I'm not Chris Spear on Venmo. That's not my Venmo. It's Chris-Spear-6 if anyone wants to send me any money.
I was just going to make that joke that you should say it so people can send you some money. I remember Venmoing you and it was a wacky name and that's like branding. Which is something to think about from like a business owner standpoint. If you have a Venmo that's like not really your name, like I have a very common name. Like my personal Venmo isn't Matt Collins because I'd have to have so many numbers after it. I'd just look like a Twitter bot because it's just like a common name. And so that's like one of those things too, where why do you want to hyphenate things and dashes? Like wouldn't you want it to like streamline across all your platforms? And if you can't get that one, maybe it's like a red flag of like, I don't want people accidentally paying the wrong person just because they got my business name before me. Because, a lot of people, I see in the, the groups and stuff, they have names that are kind of like, quirky things like the like an animal is in it or something, like the cilantro raven and stuff. And so like someone else might have that name for whatever else. You know what I mean? They have like these cute names, like the wilted onion and all this, like, like
nice, nice thinking on the spot there.
Mangoes and porridge. I don't know. They have these like names and it's just something that, is proprietarily someone else can also have for whatever other purpose. And, just because they think it's cute or it's from like a movie reference or something. And so it's just kind of it's something to think about. You know what I mean? Like it's not a great thing. That's why I hate Twitter, because it's like it's my name. My business name is too long to do on Twitter. So I just don't like it.
Yeah, mine too. I'm Perfect Little Bites on almost every platform, except I have to be like PRFCTLITL Bites on Twitter. And it's annoying.
That's your stock names when you go public.
It is, for sure. It's a
PRFT Bites stock.
So what options are you accepting? Like when you talk to customers about how they can pay you, what do you tell them up front?
Yeah. So it's on my website and I email it over them too. And I always say it on the phone that if you want to pay the deposit, it's a check in the mail or processing through Square, which credit card, which people can link Cash App to that and all other stuff. And that's on their end. So I don't have to have a Cash App. And also Square is great. I'm not paid by Square. I just something I've been using for years and they've never fucked me, for lack of a better term. Family show, I guess, or not. We're all adults.
No,
here.
You can use the F word on the show.
Oh, hell yeah. You're going to lose that monetization.
You can get one F in to make it PG-13.
Okay.
But if I say, we're out.
Oh, no. Okay. Edit that out. Bleep it out. But Square has all these update settings too, where they send reminders. So I've had people who, you know, will tell me, hey, I'm going to pay after Friday, after my check clears, I'll pay you the deposit. And I'm like, yeah, no worries. You're just going to get emails until it happens. It's not me. It's part of the system. And I just let them know, because sometimes I feel bad. I'm like, oh man, this person got like one email a day the last week because they haven't paid, and I don't want to be a dork, but at least it's not me doing it. It's like an automated thing, and then it reminds people too. And because I've had people that I've left because they were drunk, and they're like, I'm going to pay via credit card, and I send them over the invoice. And, you know, it's normally people I trust, but sometimes it takes a couple days for them to pay it. But every, whatever, 48 hours, Square's like, hey, unpaid invoice. And it emails me too as well that they saw it.
So you're okay leaving without having all your money?
It depends on the person, and it depends on the amount of money. And how other things, like if they live in close proximity to me.
Like I can come to your house and knock on your door saying, I want my $2.
It doesn't happen often. I don't want this new thing to happen where now I said online that I'm not a total hard ass. I'm normally kind of a weirdo. I'm normally kind of like hanging out in the kitchen, like sipping on a glass of wine or something, waiting.
And where's then, my money?
You're still here? You're still here? The movie's over. Go home. And I'm like, yeah, well, you owe me X amount of money. Can we settle up? Or I'll send a text to the host.
Because going back to the Wi-Fi issue, like, and reception issue, I do lots in, like, cabins and on the mountains and whatever. And, like, I was doing a dinner one time, and these people, you know, out by the fire, and they're trying to Venmo me, and it won't go through. And I just had to leave, like, hoping he'd pay me tomorrow. And I wasn't worried, but I did have someone helping me that night, and she's like, she has her own business, and she's like, oh, hell no. Like, I am not leaving property until I'm paid in full. There's no way I would get in that car and leave without knowing that I had the money.
But this goes to your, like, Airbnb rental things, and you know the towns. You know if you're going out in the woods. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm going to something in the Poconos or somewhere weird or out in the woods where my phone doesn't work, I'm going to recommend that it's paid in cash before I get there. I'm like, hey, I don't know if the credit card processing is going to work. I don't know. Like, you know, but, you know, typically I hook up to the Wi-Fi if that's the case. But, you know, you never know, because sometimes it's a rental, a Vrbo or something, or maybe the Wi-Fi is down, where it's just like you just got to have a backup plan. And that's like where, you know, I'll take, hey, just give me a check, because I don't think people are generally going to commit the fraud. You know, you have it. You have a check. I had a huge, huge multi-day event paid by check, and the person canceled the check.
Wow. Why was that?
What I think it was is that there are secondary fridges in their garage where I was supposed to store the food, broke. And so I told them, and they're like, they had so much alcohol and seltzers in their fridge in the kitchen that they had nowhere to put it. And so it got trashed, the leftovers. And I don't normally provide leftovers. I normally do a seated dinner, but this was like a family style thing. So I saved the stuff, but, you know, things sat out for a while. It was a hot summer day and temperature zone. So I think they were just bitter that they didn't have leftovers.
So they ate the whole meal. Everyone got fed.
It was multiple meals. It was a 3-day event of breakfast, lunch, and dinner for about a dozen ladies. So it was a good sum of money. And then for whatever reason, either the client or the client's assistant, they canceled the check saying it wasn't signed. But then I just called them up and was like, yeah, you're going to have to literally pay me today, like via credit card. This is insane. But they did some weird thing, acting like I wouldn't notice that, you know, $4,000 wasn't in my checking account. So it came out, and then I got hit with a fee from the bank from the check being canceled, because it was as if I stole their checkbook and wrote the check, I guess. I'm not really sure. Some legality thing. And so I had a fee from Bank of America for either $50 or $100 that I tacked on and was like, yeah, I'm not paying that. Like, you canceled the check. Like, because my balance and my deposit are the same number if there's no changes, if you don't change guest count. So it's the exact same number. So you know, like, you are, like, it's no confusion. It's not like, that's why a lot of people do like smaller dollar fees that I never really understood. Like, oh, hey, it's a $200 to hold the date. What is that $200 if it's a couple $1,000 party?
It's like skin in the game, though. Like, I feel like people won't duck out, because, you know, I've just noticed, and I want to get into deposits, so I'll make this quick. But, like, I never charged a deposit. If you listen to my old podcast, I talk about, like, never having a deposit. And then maybe a year and a half ago, I just started to have a lot of cancellations. Like, not – like, we weren't even necessarily having the menu, but it would be like the process of, like, you want this date. It's, you know, the last Saturday of this month. okay, cool. Then I send you a menu and we go back and forth. And then you like ghost me. And then all of a sudden, like I follow up and you're like, oh, we decide to go in another direction. Like that had never happened to me. And like, I had like 8 years of that never happening. And then I had like three of them in the span of 2 months. I was like, well, just something like people return their carts to Aldi because of a quarter. Like that's how cheap people are and how little it takes to get them invested. And I was just like, if they just gave me $100 just to say like, here we go, it's $100 and you will 100% be out of that $100 if you cancel, that's been enough to keep people in line and to not cancel on me.
I think you just have to like let people know that you have a soft hold for about a week until the deposit. I just followed up with somebody today and was like, hey, you know, how'd that menu look for you? And they said, oh, you know, I was busy. And I said, you know, no worries. And I sent them a couple of options back. That to me is pretty standard. But I have to keep tabs on – I have like a whole section of my calendar and my notebook of like these are the people and I write the date that I sent them the menu and then when I'm supposed to follow back up. If I don't hear from them, cross them off. And then, you know, I have people who follow up in that week span for that date, like somebody else. And I just got to tell them like, you know, hey, I'll know within 48 hours or whatever. And then I normally apply a little bit of pressure.
What is your amount that you're asking for a deposit?
I do 50% of the invoice. So that way, because I do different courses and different size parties, and then I have different, you know, whether it's travel, whatever. I just like people to agree 100% what they're paying for. Because if you take a deposit and someone's expectations of what the dinner is going to cost is completely different, then what are they going to want to do with that deposit? If they don't want to move forward with the event, you have the deposit because you held the date.
I don't take a deposit until we've talked numbers. Like, you know, like they know straight out like how much the dinner is going to be before I take a deposit as well.
Yeah, but there's a lot of variables. You know what I mean? If someone wants to, you know, add something premium to it, or someone wants to add another course, or someone wants to do the main family style, I have to charge more for that because it's a lot more portions. And so I have to tack on that. And so there is that fluctuation. And I just like it to be completely agreed upon before there's a deposit. So that way there's just zero confusion. You know, I had someone recently who went over all the pricing. They couldn't hear me well on the phone. They were walking their dog. They live in a neighborhood where, you know, cars are driving by, like a, you know, more urban North Jersey neighborhood. And then we went over stuff for about a week. And
I thought you said $30 a head. Didn't you say $30 a head?
It wasn't even like that. They were fine with the menu costs. It was just my staffing, my booking and travel. And it was all things I said on the phone. And I mentioned a story that sometimes when people get the bill, they freak out. So I was like, you know, I just wanted to let you know because they thought I was a little long-winded. They might have just got bored of listening to me talk. But we laughed about it. And then 4 days later, I send the bill and they're like, well, there's like $600 in fees because it was a staffer, travel, and the $150 booking fee. That's all on my website. And I was like, we went over this. And so I apologized. I said we could cut back the menu, but they were just so like offended that there was additional fees that they just didn't want to do it. And I turned away three other dinners for that day in that week span because I thought they were a lock because we had such a good conversation on the phone that I was like, you know, and they were a referral. And so I was like, this person's doing this shit. Like, I don't want to muddy the waters and hold people on and piss them off because some of the other people calling me were also like regular people I do business regularly with. And I didn't want to put them in a weird situation if I didn't think the person was going to cancel.
Yeah, people are weird. I mean, just this week, like, I don't know, for some reason, I had Friday open. I had someone reach out to me like last week and say they wanted a dinner this week. I was like, yeah, I've got like I talked to them on the phone and she was all excited about how her daughter loves food and cooking. And she's like, yeah, that sounds great. Send me a menu. I was like, I'll get it to you in a couple hours. And like, I stopped everything I was doing, like made a menu, sent it, and then nothing. And this was like last Thursday, didn't hear anything. And then like yesterday, she sends an email, was like, it doesn't sound like our schedules are going to align and our family will be in town. But it's like, well, I just talked to you like 3 days ago and you said Friday. Like, it's not like I had something else cooking, but just like that, like people don't think about things like that. Like it's a Friday night.
You're new to being ghosted. I get that all the time where I'll follow people like a week later and like, oh yeah, we're just not doing it. And I'm like, why didn't you just say something when you knew? Because normally if we're on the phone, we're talking, I'm saying you got the pull, you got a week of a soft hold, I'll follow up with you. I'm telling you I'm going to follow up. You know I'm going to reach out. So why wouldn't you just, when you decide not to, say we're not doing it and open it back up for the next person in the queue, because otherwise I'm leading someone else on. Hey, I'll get back to you in 48 hours. And then they're not even, you know, making other plans, or they're nervous, or they're looking at other people that do the event or the dinner. I don't know. That's like a whole other thing to the deposit. We're just like parsing like human behavior. But I think the point of the deposit is having a number that makes people not want to cancel. Like, my deposit was refundable, you know, within a certain time frame up until, you know, maybe a year after COVID started, because it just got too out of hand. Because it was just so much rescheduling that I was like, I can't have, you know, 60 days a year scheduled and then canceled. There's only so many Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays that people want.
But I do feel a lot of chefs, not myself particularly or specifically, don't want to take that because they're hoping they're going to get cash and maybe all that doesn't get reported. You know, when you're taking a deposit check for $1,500 that has to be deposited, that's one thing. But if someone slips you $1,500 cash, maybe they did, maybe they didn't. And just saying that, like, I know that that's probably something that nobody wants to talk about, but I know that that's something that happens. People love getting paid in cash.
That's an unpopular, I have the unpopular opinion of that is I want to claim everything I do for my business so I can keep track year to year. No one's making enough money that by every single dinner you do, like I do 100 a year. If I didn't claim $100 off every dinner I did at the end of the year, what is that? $10,000? If I did that, well, what am I buying with that? A new car? Then wouldn't I, like, I'm like asking to be audited. Oh, you know, not, you can't even buy a new car for 10 grand. But I'm just saying, like, what is the point of that? You're not like living outside your means. You're not like buying a house with it. Like you're just doing all this work.
This isn't Breaking Bad. You don't have like a stash of cash like in your heating ducts.
You're just asking to get audited. And then like I have like a manila envelope of receipts. And then I have like an Excel of all my spending. Why would I want to have to go through that with an auditor? I pay somebody a good chunk of change to do my taxes and to look over everything. Why am I going to send them fake numbers and then keep my real numbers to make sure I know how my business is growing? I'm doing air quotes because it's such a stupid thing.
You have a little notepad under your bed.
I'm just saying. No, it's just like weird. I actually have it right here.
Oh, nice. There you go.
And I have little up and down arrows from the year before, because I tally up what I do each month and I compare it to the year before. And then I know if I want to spend more on advertising, if I want to work more on that. But I just think cash isn't that crazy. Like, I don't want to go on some like conservative podcast thing where it's like the government wants you to Venmo everything so they could tell you when you can't and can't spend money. But I just think cash is a nice option because it makes people feel more comfortable. People like being able to hand you cash so that way you can tip your staff in cash, so that way they feel like, or they want to give your staff cash themselves and shake their hand or pat them on the shoulder and say thank you and have that human element to it, because that's like an old school thing. You go to a restaurant, you really like your server or your bartender, you feel good giving them a tip. And a lot of times that's like a guest at the event who didn't have to pay for the dinner and they just want to say thank you and they don't want to feel like a bum.
I love it when they put it in your chef pocket and then like tap your chest.
Oh, my God.
You ever have that happen? Like, just slide it in that chef pocket and just, like, tap you. Like, there you go.
The last time it happened, I felt like a stripper. I felt disgusting.
Have you ever been asked if you're a stripper when you show up to do a bachelorette party? Like, you show up and, like, are you really a chef? And I'm like, I can be whatever you want for the right price.
I just had this conversation because I did a bachelorette party on Sunday and the joke came about. And I said it happens once in a while. But I think I've moved past the drunk Santa shirtless wearing only an apron promo photos from 2 years ago. I don't get as many comments anymore. I have to do a new shoot.
Well, thanks, Matt, for coming on the show. And I know we'll have you back real soon. Have a good one.
Thanks, Chris.
As always, this is Chris with the Chefs Without Restaurants podcast. Thanks for listening and have a great week. Go to chefswithoutrestaurants.org to find our Facebook group, mailing list, and chef database. The community's free to join. You'll get gig opportunities, advice on building and growing your business, and you'll never miss an episode of our podcast. Have a great week.